So I'm going to ask that every child, young people in the front, you'll have to behave now. Put your papers down, put everything out of your hands, and be very attentive and quiet. And every teenager will listen intently. Every child will listen to what the preacher says from the Word of God this morning. Girls, no talking now. I'll stop and call your name and find your name and call it for everybody. We don't misbehave here at our church. And that's one reason why it's good for you to sit on the front sometime. That way I can keep my eyes on you and you can behave yourself. Now, here's the story, and listen carefully to the story. The proudest of all the 12 tribes of Israel was the tribe of Joseph. Now, the 12 tribes had a right to have pride, but there was one tribe that had an excessive amount of pride, and that was, as I said, the tribe of Joseph. There are several reasons why the tribe of Joseph was excessively proud. In the first place, their name was Joseph. The name Joseph was a magic name to the people of God. The Jews revered and respected highly the name Joseph. Compare the tribe of Naphtali, for example. Theirs would not be near the temptation of pride as would the tribe of Joseph. Take the tribe of Ephraim, which is a part of Joseph, by the way. But Ephraim is not near as well-known name as the name Joseph. Take the tribe of Dan. Dan was an adder. He was the Judas of the 12 sons of Jacob. And no one would bear pride or hold pride because they bore the name of Dan. But here is the tribe of Joseph. They were proud. Everywhere they went, they said, "We are of the tribe of Joseph." Joseph, the name Joseph, bore, of course, a magic in the lives of God's people. But there's another reason why the tribe of Joseph was proud. They were proud because of their numbers. In Numbers chapter 1, when the census of the tribes was taken, the tribe of Joseph was the second largest tribe. They were the second largest Sunday school of all the tribes, you see. And so they were very proud because theirs was a large tribe. In Numbers chapter 26, a little later, another census was taken. And the tribe of Joseph had outgrown the tribe of Judah, and now the tribe of Joseph is the largest tribe of all. And not only are they the largest of the tribes, they're the fastest growing Sunday school in all the world, too. And there was an excessive amount of pride because they were the second largest, and then they were the largest, and because the name was Joseph. But there's something else that caused them to swell with pride, and that is because of their leader, the pride in their leader. The writing of this story in Joshua chapter 17 was given to us, or was written, in the life of Joshua. And at this time, Joshua was the leader of all of Israel. He had succeeded Moses, and now Joshua was the leader. Well, did you know that Joshua was from the tribe of Joseph? And so they took great pride in saying, "Joshua is from our tribe." And so, swelling with pride and egotism was this tribe of Joseph because of their numbers, because of their name, because of their heritage, because of their leader. Was not Joseph our father? Is not Joshua of our tribe? Is he not the leader of all? That'd be sort of like this. Suppose that President Nixon came from our church. We'd say, "Boy, well, First Baptist Church of Hammond, the President of the United States grew up here." By the way, I wish you had him. It'd help a great deal. He would be serving in liquor in the White House. But the President is from our church, and we are the biggest church in the whole city, and the biggest church in the state, and one of the biggest churches in the world. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we are something. No, you're not something either. You're not something because of your heritage. You're not something because of who your leader might be and what his name is. You're not something because of your name. You're not something because of your growth. I think the First Baptist Church in Hammond is the greatest church in all the world. I do not think it is because we're one of the largest churches in the world. I do not think it is because we're one of the fastest growing churches in the world. I do not think you're a great church because you're big. I do not think you're a great church because you grow fast. I do not think you're a great church because your pastor's known a bit. I do not think you're a great church because of the heritage. I do not think you're a great church because you're famous. If we are a great church, it's because we are a great people doing a great work for a great God. The temptation is always there. Now what happened is this. The tribe of Joseph, and don't miss this, the tribe of Joseph came to Joshua and said, "Joshua, we only have one lot in the promised land, one bit a portion of land for our tribe. Now they said, we be a great people. We be a great people. We want some more land. And Joshua said, if you be a great people, there's a wooded area. Get your axes and go up and cut down the wood, if you be such a great people. Now notice this. Joshua didn't say you're a great people because you came from Joseph. He did not say you're a great people because you're the largest of the 12 tribes. He did not say you're a great people because I came from your tribe. He said, if you be a great people, get to work. Get your axe and go to that wooded area and chop down those trees and build your houses and get to work and prove that you are a great people. Let me make two observations just in passing in parenthesis about this. In the first place, greatness is always present tense. Greatness is always present tense. You are not great because of what you did yesterday. You are great because of what you do today. Greatness is never past tense. That's a great church. They have built a great congregation. No, not at all. If we're a great church, it's not because of what we did last year, but because of what we're doing today, this year. Greatness is always in the present tense. The second observation, parenthetically, I'd like to give to you, and that is this. Greatness always makes its own way. Now, follow me. And boy, our nation needs this. The white folks need this. The colored folks need this. As one fellow said, the maroon and chartreuse folks need this. Everybody needs this. And that is, greatness makes its own way. They said, give us more land. We are a second-rate tribe. We are being persecuted. And so they demonstrated, God pity them, they demonstrated and said, we want more land. Joshua said, okay, I'm not going to give you developed land. If you be so great, go to that wooded area. Chop that wood down. Work for yourself. Greatness always makes its own way. A great man does not expect Uncle Sam to support him with a check from Washington every month. A great man does not suspect or expect a guaranteed income. A great man does not expect to have 32-hour a week. A great man says, all I want is a wooded area. I'll clean it out. I'll work. I'll take care of it. I'll make my own way. I'll be honest with you. Our country is languishing today on the brink of catastrophe because we're raising a generation of Bolshevik gluttons who want somebody to take care of them instead of having the authority and power to take care of themselves. As long as there's a sidewalk that needs shoveling, as long as there's a yard that needs mowing, a ditch that needs digging, a field that needs plowing, a garden that needs raising, as long as you have strength to work with your hands, thank God, great people always work. And so God said, Joshua said, if you be a great people, go up to that wooded area, and work and prepare yourself another place. Now, let me just say this morning two great dangers of belonging to First Baptist Church of Hammond. There are two great dangers. Don't misunderstand me. I think the blessings far exceed the dangers. I think the assets of belonging to our church far exceeds the liability. When these teenagers stood up here and sang a while ago, as they do so often and so well, I thank God for the length of these girls' skirts every time I hear them sing. And I would God, a bunch of you little Jezebels splitting around here showing your thighs, I would God you'd get right with God and quit conforming yourself to a heathen world. I would God some of you ladies that have your dresses 5 and 6 inches above your knees today, I would God that you'd hear the call of our Savior calling his folks to be peculiar people, a royal generation, a chosen priesthood, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It's time that God's people acted different. And I bless God today that I belong to a church that from the pulpit and the leadership of the church, we say, lengthen your skirt, you bunch of little naked Jezebels. You don't like that. Well, I don't like your skirts either. It's time you dress like God's people. It's time that the redeemed of the Lord not only said so, but acted so. People come to our church, and one of the first things they notice is that the teenagers who have any part to do in the services, the teenagers, they dress properly. Now, we have some that don't, but I'll tell you what, they don't enjoy it. And I see them walking down the aisle sometimes in the invitation time. Go on. And
I'll walk down the alley after the service and meet a bunch of you. And boy, you better watch out. You're going to be showing more on the top than you plan to if you keep pulling toward the bottom. But there are assets. And let me say this. I thank God that right here in the city of Hammond, right here in the Chicago area, there is an old-fashioned church that still takes a stand for decency and right and principles and character and honor. I thank God there's something left. And I'll say the assets of joining this great church far exceed the liabilities. I thank God for our soul-winning program. I thank God for our music program. I thank God for our youth program. I thank God for our children's program. I thank God for our Sunday school. I thank God for every teacher. I thank God for the great ministry we have on the buses. I thank God for the rescue mission. I thank God for the high school and the junior high school. I thank God for the Spanish work. I thank God for the deaf work. I thank God for the work with retarded children and retarded teenagers and adults. I thank God for the poor benevolent ministry. I thank God for every phase of the great ministry of what I think is the greatest church on the face of God's earth. But the same temptation lurks in the shadows to tempt us as lurked in the shadows for Joseph. These people said, "We're the tribe of Joseph." Now that in itself doesn't give you any brownie points. That in itself does not give you any merit badges. That in itself does not give you any assets. No. Say, "I belong to the tribe of Joseph." Well, that's all right. But Joshua said, "If you're so hot, start chopping." But, Joseph, "We have the biggest tribe in all of Israel." Joshua said, "Prove it. Start chopping." They said, "But Joshua, you are from our tribe." He said, "Prove it. Start chopping." "But Joshua, our heritage, did not you know that our father Jacob blessed Joseph above all his other 11 boys?" And Joshua said, "Prove it, start chopping." Did you know it's so easy for our people at First Baptist Church, and especially for our young people, to think that because of the name of the church, or maybe your pastor travels a bit, or maybe we have some books out, or maybe we have a nationwide pastor school, it's so easy for us to think that we're Johnny come lately. We're somebody. No, that's not it. We're not somebody unless we're chopping wood. We're not somebody unless we're getting the job done for God. God shows no favor. Did you ever stop and think about this? Did you ever stop and think that Solomon, the wicked Solomon, was David's son? God shows no favorites. Did you ever stop to think that Lot in Sodom was Abraham's nephew? God shows no favorites. Did you ever stop to think that Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 that our Lord chose, and yet he was the devil? Our Lord shows no favorites. God is not impressed because our church is large. God is not impressed because our church is growing rapidly. God is not impressed because Dr. Hiles is your pastor. God is not impressed because our church is famous. God is impressed when we, as a people, keep going and going and working and moving and weeping over the erring one and feeding the poor and clothing the naked and housing those who are homeless and loving those who are unloved and winning those who are unsaved and helping those who are in need. God is concerned not because of what we have done, not because of what we are, not because of our name, not because of our size, not because of our growth. God is concerned when He sees us today getting the job done for Him. And so, it's a great danger, and these dangers are twofold. In the first place, the great danger is we think we deserve added blessings because of who we are. Our heritage, our size, our name, who we are. No, the temptation, some of our students, teenagers go to camp, Bill Rice ranks, and I always say when you go to camp in the summertime, don't rub First Baptist Church in the nose of the people, in the nose of the people. Don't say, "I'm her." You don't deserve any more rights than anybody else because you're from First Baptist Church. One of our preacher boys went out and made everybody obnoxious at his church because everything he talked about was First Baptist Church Hammond. "I'm from First Baptist Church Hammond." I can give you a better subject than that. Jesus. Jesus. Now, the second best subject is First Baptist Church Hammond. But I can give you a better subject than that, you see. It is Jesus. And so no added blessings are due us. Our numbers, our growth, our past. My boy David is going to be a preacher like his dad. I hope a better preacher than his dad. But David need not expect anything because his name is Hiles. except a few punches in the nose along the way. But, no, he won't. If he were to say, my name is David Hiles, that's H-Y-L-E-S, Bludenham and Lace fame. My dad wrote the Hiles Church Manual. No, the God said, okay, son, go to chopping. I recall when I went in the Army in World War II. World War II was a war way back in history, back when American people had enough patriotism to defend their country, and back when communism was a dirty, bad word, and back when we wanted to be free men, back when we'd rather be dead than red, back when we had enough courage to fight and enough wisdom to know when to fight and how to fight. That's so long ago that that's before the young folks at 16 were smarter than folks at 60. And so I went in the Army in World War II. I had been a first lieutenant in the ROTC, that's the Reserve Officers Training Corps. And I just knew that General Patton would need me as his right-hand man. And so I went in. And so I went in. I was in the infantry. And they said, well, they said, any of you fellows in the ROTC? This was at boot camp. And I said, you know, I was in ROTC. And he, hey, wonderful, the sergeant said. We want to give you special treatment. And I said, thank you. He said, anybody here an officer in the ROTC? I said, was. Well, I knew all about marching into the rear, marching and right flank, marching and present arms and right shoulder arms. And I'd been a drill master, and I was in a part of a crack drill group in high school in the ROTC. He said, you mean you were an officer? The three other fellows were, too. He said, I want you four fellows to step out. And I could just see stripes and bars on my shoulders, you know. And I said, okay. And I stepped out. He said, now you four fellas, go scrub the barracks. Now I was on my hands and knees scrubbing the barracks because of all I thought I was, I had. Or no, God doesn't show any favorites. No, God blesses the church not because of what she has done, not because of how many folks show up, not because of how fast she grows. God blesses people who work. So it is with the light in the life of the tribe of Joseph. They thought they deserved special blessings. God knows no favorites. The Lutherans can point to Martin Luther and say he founded us, but you'll have a hard time finding a red-hot Lutheran church today. God knows no favorites. The Presbyterians can point to John Calvin and say he founded our church, but you'll have a hard time finding an old-fashioned John Calvin-type Presbyterian church today. God knows no favorites. The Methodists can point to John Wesley, and they say, we are founded by John Wesley. Well, that's wonderful, but God knows no favorites, and Methodist churches have died across this great nation. Why? Because they've left the faith and preaching and conviction and courage and Bible stand to John Wesley, and now it's hard to find an old-fashioned Methodist church like we had when I was a kid. What's happened? God knows no favorites. Young lady, you comb your hair when you get home, and you listen to me while I'm preaching. You look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You keep your eyes on me. Look at me now. Now you primp when you get home. You don't. This is not a beauty shop. It's a place where you learn how to behave yourself and wear skirts that are long enough and learn how to act in church and so forth. That goes for all you big ones, too. In case you want to primp, I'll stop and recognize you after a while. God knows no favorites. God knows no favorites. God says, you're great. Yes, we're great. Joseph started us. Joshua's from us. Our tribe is the biggest. God says, that doesn't impress me at all. God said, go chop some wood on that wooded area and clear out your place. The blessings of God don't come just because of who we are. Spurgeon was a great preacher, but go today to Spurgeon's Tabernacle in London, you'll find 100 people there, not even able to raise enough money to pay the utility bills. God knows no favorites. John Wesley was a great preacher, but you go to London today and go to the Wesley Tabernacle, Wesley Chapel, and you'll find the Wesley Chapel is just has a handful of people meeting Sunday after Sunday. That's all. Well, God knows no favorites. Raider Tabernacle in Chicago, God knows no favorites. I'm simply saying God does not bless the First Baptist Church because of who we are, or because of who our pastor is, or because of our name, or our fame, or our reputation. God will choose to bless us today, and next Sunday, and next year, and on, only as we obey Him and work in His business and do the job that God has called us to do. There's a second liability of along the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and that is the liability of thinking that salvation can come because you belong to a church like this. Did you know that it's easier to be lost in this church than it is in a liberal church? I mean unsaved. It's easy. One fellow came to Mr. Moody one day and he was drunk. Evangelist Moody, and said, Mr. Moody? He said, guess what? Now, by the way, in case I look like I've been drunk, I have not ever been drunk. I have never touched liquor. I've seen some of these fellows on the platform, how they act in certain times like this, and that's the way I know how I've copied them a great deal. But he said, Mr. Moody? He said, guess what? And Mr. Moody said, what? He said, you saved me. You saved me. And Mr. Moody said, you look about like some of my jobs. You look like some of my jobs. I went to preach in a jail down in Marshall, Texas, one Sunday afternoon to try to help those poor heathen in jail, you know, get saved. I walked in, opened my Bible, and one of the fellows in jail said, don't you let preach to us. We're all members of your church. All four of them. Four fellows in jail. All of them, my members. I wondered why the deacon meeting crowd had been down a little bit lately. But all four of them, members of my church. And one of them, he said, sure, you saved us all. I imagine I did. I imagine I saved them. Did you know that it's a great danger for a person to say, I belong to the First Baptist Church in Hammond? Oh, I walked the aisle. Jack Howells baptized me. He baptizes more people than anybody in all the world. And he baptizes me. That doesn't cut any mustard with God. You got to get born again like anybody else. You say, I belong to the First Baptist Church in Hammond. But God isn't impressed with that. God wants to know if you've been born again. But you say, well, the Hiles, I just love to go on trips and tell them all. I go to First Baptist Church. I love to go on trips and tell them all, I've been born again. Don't misunderstand me. Be proud of your church. But be sure that the big item is Jesus. I recall down in East Texas, an old man was had doubts and he couldn't know that he was saved. And he said, preacher, I just can't know it. I just can't know it. And he trusted his church. And he trusted his Masonic ring and other things that will never get you to heaven. And so finally he came to die. And I went to his hospital room. And he was on his deathbed, died a few weeks later. And I walked up and I said, have you doubts? He said, preacher, I just have my doubts. I don't know I'm saved. How do you know? And I tried to tell him. And finally I just couldn't get through. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And I said, you know you can't live. You've got to know you're saved. And I still couldn't get through. And he said, I'm a Baptist. And I said, it doesn't matter. Well, he said, I belong to the Masonic Lodge. He held his ring up. And I said, that doesn't matter. But he said, I was baptized. You baptized me. I said, that doesn't matter. But he said, I take communion. I said, that doesn't matter. And finally, I couldn't get through, and I couldn't get through. And just before he died, I went in one day, and I said, have you got peace? And he began to smile, and he said, yes. He said, I learned it's just Jesus. I learned it's just Jesus. Oh, my precious friend, don't slide from First Baptist Church Hammond into hell because you trust the church or Brother Hiles. If John the Baptist baptized you, in fact, in Acts 19, verses 1 through 5, there's some fellows there that weren't converted, and they were asked the question. They said, how about you? And they said, we're baptized under John's baptism, and didn't even let you know there'd be any Holy Ghost. No matter if John the Baptist baptized you, you'd go to hell if you'd not been born again. It is so easy for us to get the picture above the real experience. Baptism's a wonderful thing. I'll baptize in a few minutes, and I love to baptize. And I was checking last week, though we baptized last year over 2,000 people, we're over 100 ahead of last year already this year. And in spite of that, I baptized a lot of folks, but in this baptistry, I can't save you. The water can't save you. Look, Lord's Supper, what a joy to take the Lord's Supper. But those, that can't save you. But you know what happens? Before you know it, a crowd says, I take the Lord's Supper, I take communion, and it becomes a sacrament, and you trust that for your salvation, and you die and go to hell someday. Over in a heathen country. Now, used to, I'd say that and felt good about it. Now I sort of feel like we're more heathen than most any country I know. But over in a heathen country, knew nothing about the gospel. A missionary saw their needs, and they were having a famine, and they had to have something to some way to irrigate some crops. So a big machine was built here in America, and that machine was sent over to this heathen country, and the people, it was a special machine used to irrigate some of their small farms and so forth, and they saw the machine, and it was such a marvelous thing. That machine could give us water. That machine could help irrigate our crops, and missionary left the machine and taught them how to operate it. He came back a few months later and found the machine never being used. The heathen were bowing down and worshiping the machine. Crops still not growing. People still hungry. Why? Because the picture becomes more important than the real thing. Don't you recall the story of the brazen serpent? over in the book of Numbers. The Israelites were all being bitten by fiery serpents, and they were dying by the thousands, just dropping dead with the thousands. And finally, Moses came to God and said, God, what can we do? The people have cried to me. And God said, get a pole and make a serpent out of brass and put that serpent on that pole and tell the people, if they'll look to that serpent of brass, they'll live, they won't die, and the deadly serpents will not kill them. And so Moses built that serpent of brass. He lifted that pole high, and the people began to look. And when they looked, they lived. They did not die. And you know, years passed, and in a place called Nehushtan, the Israelites, if they were found worshiping that brazen serpent and that pole. They were found by the man of God bowing down and worshiping that brazen serpent. Not that brazen serpent that healed them. It was the God of the brazen serpent. It was their faith in what God had provided. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, said that Nicodemus, you got to get born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, that isn't it at all. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's not the baptism. It's not the church. It's not Brother Hiles baptizing you. It's not the Lord's Supper. Listen, God pity the people who sell or teach the heresy that taking a little piece of wafer can get you an inch toward heaven. God pity that kind of garbage. The Savior is the one who's represented by this juice and this bread, and it's the Savior. It's not the wafer. It's not the juice. It's the Savior. It's not the baptism. It's the Savior. It's not the Masonic ring. It's the Savior. It's not the church. It's the Savior. And so these people came and said, we belong to the tribe of Joseph. We want some more land. Why? Because we're black? No, nope. You don't deserve any more land because you're black. Now, I say this kindly. We probably have some Negroes here. But just because you're a Negro doesn't give you a right to have any extra privileges. And just because you're white or Mexican or an Indian or a Polish. Person? I'm getting so nice it convicts me about it. You don't deserve any extra attention. No, not at all. God says if you would be great and enjoy his blessings, you meet the conditions today just like you did yesterday. That's one reason why God blesses this church. Our people keep going, and our people keep working. And I remind you constantly that it's not the church, it's Jesus. It's not the preacher, it's Jesus. But Joshua, you're one of our own. Shouldn't we have some special privileges? You came from our tribe. He said, that doesn't matter. He said, get your axes out and begin chopping. Go to the wooded area. But Joshua, we are the biggest, our tribe. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You got to meet the conditions of God just like anybody else. But we have a high school. Wonderful. But that doesn't cut any butter with God. God wants to know, are you meeting my conditions today? But we have the fastest growing Sunday school anywhere. That doesn't make any difference with God. God says, what are you doing today? What are you doing today? And God says, the issue is, you must be born again. This morning, if you remember First Baptist Church, get on your knees and thank God again and again for our great church. I sat here this morning, and as I am, heard the choir, and we took the Lord's Supper together, and as these special numbers were sung, and as I looked out and saw your faces, I thank God for First Baptist Church. Last night, I read a letter from one of the preachers who was at our pastor's school from Massachusetts. Now listen to this. Listen. He wrote back a letter to Ben Griffith and Mrs. Griffith, and he said, thank you for the pastor school. He said, I came back home, and I went soul winning, and our church is being blessed of God and having folks saved. And he said, we are the only church within 40 miles that even as much as gives an invitation on Sunday morning. The only church within 40 miles that as much as gives an invitation on Sunday morning. We ought to thank God for First Baptist Church. I want you to love me, and I want you to love these men on the platform, and I want you to love the staff, and I want you to love the church, and I want us to thank God for the church. But the church will never be great or never remain great unless we lift way high above the church the face of our Lord. And the one who said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If there's a church in this world that could save you, I think it'd be First Baptist Church Hammond, but it can't save you. It's Jesus. If there's a baptistry in this world that could save you, it'd be this baptistry right here, but it can't. It's Jesus. Somebody, every once in a while, folks get mad at me, and right back there one Sunday morning not long ago, a man let me have it. I mean, I was walking out, and he caught me, and he said, "I just want to tell you something, Buster." And I said, "It's Brother Hiles to you, Buster." And he said, "Well, Brother Hiles, or whatever you are, I want to tell you something. I don't like the way you criticize my priest today." Well, the truth is, I didn't. I just called a spade, and the priest happened to play cards, and I just told him what I... And I didn't criticize your priest. "Yeah," he said, "you did. You said my priest, his baptism wouldn't save you." And I got my mouth like this, and I said, "Yeah," and I said, "Mine wouldn't either, so I criticized me too." There's not one sprinkle of water, whether it comes from the hands of a fellow with a tie or without a tie, that'll get you to heaven. It's the sprinkle of blood that dripped from Calvary on the cross 2,000 years ago. "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." This morning, what are you trusting? If I went and asked you a question, "Mrs. Colston, what are you trusting to get you to heaven? Little girl, what are you trusting to get you to heaven? Are you going to heaven? If so, how do you know? Are you going to heaven? If so, how do you know? Are you going to heaven? If so, how do you know? Are you going to heaven? If so, how do you know? Are you going to heaven? If so, how do you know?" If you answer me anything but one answer, you're not going to heaven. If you said Jesus died on the cross as my substitute and my sacrifice, and I trusted what he did on the cross for my hope for heaven, and I've trusted him as my personal Savior, that's the only answer that'll get you one step toward heaven. If you're trusting your goodness, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the church, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the priest, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the baptism, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the confirmation, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the preacher, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the church, you'll not make it. If you're trusting the denomination, you'll not make it. If you're trusting Jesus, you'll make it. For as the old man said as he died, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us in the closing moments of this hour, and grant that people shall realize we deserve no special blessing because we're from First Baptist Church, because of our heritage, our growth, our name, our reputation, or our fame. Help us to realize if we have the blessings of God, it'll be because we keep chopping trees and clearing the way and working and getting the job done. And may those realize this morning who know thee not as Savior, may they realize in the name of Christ, may they realize it's not the church, it's not the priest, it's not the preacher, it's not the baptism, it's not communion, it's Jesus. God, speak to our heart in the closing moments of this hour. Now our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. How many would say, "Brother Hiles, I'm not trusting the church to save me. I'm not trusting the priest to save me. I'm not trusting the ordinance to save me. I'm not trusting communion to save me. I'm not trusting denomination to save me. I'm not trusting the confirmation to save me. I'm not trusting baptism to save me. I'm not trusting the Eucharist to save me. I have come to a place in my life, and I could tell you where it was, when I said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know Jesus died for sinners, and I'm going to trust him as my Savior. And I'm born again, and I know it." Would you raise your hand way up high, please? Keep them up for a moment, would you? You may lower your hands. God bless you. Now, if you could not raise your hand, I'm sorry. I wish you could. I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, for I'm not born again, or I do not know that I am, but I wish I did. I wish I did. I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me, that I may know." First on the lower floor, would you lift your hand way up high so I'll know that you're here and want to be saved? God bless you. God bless you. Is there another? On the lower floor, you'd like to know that you're saved. God bless you. God bless you, pal. On the lower floor, you want to know that you're saved. You don't know it now, but you wish you did. God bless you. I see you. Are there others? Quickly. Way up high, on the lower floor. Hurry. God bless you. Back in the back. I see you. God love you. Are there others on the lower floor? Back over here on the left. God bless you. Are there others on the lower floor? Way back in the back. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're saved. You'd say, "Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, please? Way up high. Way up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. In the balcony on my left, that's the east balcony. Say, "Pray for me." God bless you. Yes, and you. I see several. God bless you. In the center balcony, "Pray for me. I want to be saved and know it." Would you lift your hand, please? In the right balcony, that's the south balcony, you'd say, "Pray for me. God bless you. Are there others? All right. God bless you. Father, may each of these say yes to Christ this morning. Speak to our hearts in this invitation hour and grant that many shall come to Christ. Now heads are bowed.